Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guests for today's show are Petrina Wisdom and Christine Howard. Petrina Wisdom is an Amazon best-selling author, speaker, wealth mentor, and creator of the Badass Bodacious Life Movement. She believes that in order to live a badass, bodacious life, you must connect with, embrace, and exercise every part of yourself. After losing her husband of 20 years in 2009 and learning that she was pregnant with her fourth child the same day, Petrina Wisdom took her personal story and decades of experience as an entrepreneur and business leader and began the process of creating her badass, bodacious life. Christine Howard is a sought-after speaker and innovative business leader. Her transformative products and coaching services, books, and talks are instrumental to awakening the radiance and power of women's true beauty and their ability to achieve their soul-centered calling. Passionate in her commitment to inspire the lives of women, Christine's work first began during her own transformational heartbreak. Rising from a startling diagnosis of breast cancer, followed by a painful divorce, today she is widely known as an authority on radiant achievement, teaching and speaking to audiences worldwide. Join us for a conversation about their chapters in On Self-Authority and Radiant Achievement from the inspiring new book, Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Welcome, Petrina and Christine.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Thank you, Margot. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
I am so looking forward to it. I really enjoyed both of your chapters on self-authority and radiant achievement in the book, and I am excited to hear what you have to say about it as well and what you have to tell our audience about it. So I think let's start with well, either one of you, Petrina or Christine, just say who you're going to be telling us. What one essential power of the feminine heart do you speak and write about in the book, and why do you feel it's important? So who wants to start with that?
This is Christine. I am happy to go first. So I speak and write about the embodying the power of radiant achievement. And I love actually using the word embody with my power and all the powers, because we can have so much information and knowledge, but it's really in the embodiment of these powers, which is where they get their biggest potential, right, for use in our life. And mm-hmm. So radiant achievement is all about really introducing and embodying a new paradigm for achievement. And we achieve things all day long. We may not really even recognize it as achievement, but there's small things from the grocery list to the big things like launching our dream business. And culturally, we've been taught to strive and push and plan and look externally for experts. So what's happened over time is we've become burnt out, we've become disconnected with our inner wisdom and with our highest potentials, really, because it's a lot of this external looking. So radiant achievement really introduces a paradigm of achievement that brings it back inside, starting from the inside, reconnecting with what it is that's calling to you, and then from that place of connecting with your higher wisdom, stepping forward in a place of trust to pursue this higher calling. And in doing so, what the result is that we become really our fullest selves. We're more fulfilled, we have more joy in our lives, and we are really become more radiant, too, by pursuing those things that are most important to us. So in a nutshell, that's what my chapter is about.
Well, I have to say
that's so awesome.
Yeah, I have to say, is that, Petrina, do you say that?
Yes.
I think it is awesome, too, because, you know, I love the idea of combining the word radiant with achievement, because the way you described achievement, as so many people think of it, it's just exhausting just even hearing about it, much less doing it. And it's just not a way to enjoy the journey of your life at all.
Right.
And yeah, it's just, I think that that's so important to be able to enjoy the
journey. Thank you.
Journey.
I think that the time has really come, too, because we, you know, we have become so disconnected from our essence. I've seen that in myself first and foremost, and I will not sit here and judge anybody else, but I've seen, you know, and had conversations with women being burnt out and just like, what's this all about? I want to get off the treadmill, and where am I going? Why am I doing this any longer? So to really reconnect with, what is it that's most important to us? What is it that's calling to us? What is it we've always desired to have, to do, to be, which is really, again, going back to our essence, and then taking the steps from a very trusting, empowered, open, creative place, it's a completely different path toward achievement than what most of us have experienced from the traditional structured approach to achievement.
That's
absolutely
so true.
And I actually think that's a great place to piggyback also on my chapter, because it's interesting how everything builds on each other. So you're talking about radiant achievement, and in order to have radiant achievement, you really have to stand in your self-authority, which is what my chapter is about. And really what standing in your self-authority means is that you're so grounded within yourself, kind of like you said, going back within, anchored in your own powers, so that you can consider, discern, and make choices from that alignment, which is in harmony with your heart, your mind, and your spirit. So you are absolutely right. You know, we live in a society that is so driven by external forces, and we make our decisions about ourselves and about other things based on what's going on out there instead of what truly matters, which is what's going on within us, right? Who we really are and how we're feeling. So we hear it all the time, fill our cups first, right? And serve from the overflow. So you are knowing who you are, and then not only knowing who you are, but functioning and making choices from that place is very powerful. That's how we don't get caught in the rat race, where we can still feel super grounded and connected, even though we have a lot going on, specifically as women, like we said.
And like I had mentioned before, when I talked to you before we went on the show, it's true for men too. You know, I mean, we really, you know, this book is geared toward women, and I think that it's really, I think women probably need it the most, but I think there's a lot of men out there that would benefit also by reading this book. And I think that both things are so important, self-authority and radiant achievement. And
absolutely. I think it's actually, we have different challenges. We all have the same challenge, but it looks differently, because for men, they are expected to stand in their authority and be the leader and, you know, be the strong one and all of that. We as women have come, you know, so far, where we went from being more of the submissive nurturers staying home to then being introduced to the workplace and, you know, our power and all of that. And I honestly feel like now more than ever we need the messages in this book, because I believe the pendulum has kind of swung the other way, too far almost, and that's why we feel out of balance. I believe there's a way to be powerful and, you know, achieve and be a driver, and also to really flow in our feminine power, because feminine power is one thing that we have that men don't have. It's our magic. And we actually can achieve more, do more, be more radiant, as Christine said, through functioning in the feminine, the flow, the trusting, and the groundedness of being in our feminine power. And so I think that's a message that a lot of women need to hear, because they associate power and strength with, not with femininity, right? And when in reality, that's our magic.
Right. That's so true.
I love that, Petrina. This is Christine. And from the, again, playing off what you said on the male perspective, I know in, you know, working with my male clients who have achieved the external level of success in their businesses, in their, you know, their careers, and like many people we've heard, there's something missing, right? That only provides so much kind of satisfaction, but the, you know, I think we're becoming more and more about not just the external success, but that really internally, are we feeling fulfilled? And I know looking at my 30-year history of achievement, if I, you know, look at from the time I graduated college and looked at those things that I've achieved that have been the most meaningful to me, they've come from this inner place that I didn't sit and think about and strategize, what do I want to achieve? They just welled up inside me, and I felt so called to pursue them that those have been the most fulfilling to me and have led to new ideas and new opportunities. And again, I think men go through the same thing. Culturally, we've been, you know, told you need, this is what success looks like, but more and more women and men are starting to question what that really means and are open to looking at maybe those deeper parts of themselves that they've put on the back shelf or ignored or said, I can't do this because, you know, it just doesn't fit into my life. So
right.
New times are happening.
I think there's another piece to look at as well, just to kind of, you know, confirm what we're already speaking on here. And when it comes to men and women, there's these worldly expectations of what we quote unquote should be. And I feel like when we get out of the shoulds and really just stand in our desires and what is going to make us happy, what's going to make us fulfilled, that creates a much stronger root, you know, much stronger footing for everything that we do. And I can specifically associate this to my husband. You know, like you read in my bio, I lost my husband 10 years ago to suicide. And I truly believe that the reason he committed suicide is because what he thought he was supposed to be and the roles that he was trying to uphold were not necessarily making him happy on the inside. He was wearing a mask all the time. And it wasn't acceptable for a man to express his feelings. It wasn't acceptable to him to have weakness or to feel, you know, certain ways. And even though he had that acceptance with me in the home, in society, a lot of time it's not accepted. And it's kind of become that way now with women as well, where we're discouraged from having feelings and, you know, all of these things. And the expectations are taking over. So what happens when you're not grounded and you're not making decisions from your own self-authority is that then the rug can be pulled out from under you, right? And you're shaken because you're not living up to whatever the expectation that's been placed upon you is. You become a slave to those expectations. And had I not stood in my own self-authority in my marriage and in my life, when he passed away, my whole world would have been, I mean, it was completely rocked. However, I was able to recover. And I would say probably the same thing for Christine and her experience. You know, had she not had some sense of her own self-authority, then her world probably would look a lot different right now after her circumstances with cancer and her divorce than, you know, when you keep that part of yourself, when you at least can recognize that part of yourself.
Right.
So it's very important.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, too, about the self-authority is that self-authority obviously would be the opposite of, like, other authority. and also self to me is like our inner being. It's like, you know, capital S self, the who we are inside. And that's why I named my show Live Your Music, was because Wayne Dyer had always said, don't die with your music still in you, which is whatever you feel called to do. It's just music. And the thing is that in order to know what your music is and what you feel called to do, you have to be able to know what is important to you and not just what everybody else wants you to do, you know?
Yep.
So
perfect.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I say it in the book that when we're not in our self-authority, we actually lean towards recklessness. because mm-hmm. we're not making decisions, like you said, for ourselves. We're doing it for other people. So we tend to abandon our self-worth. We underestimate our own value, and we feel disconnected from who we are. And when you're feeling disconnected from who you really are, then you're searching outside yourself to make a connection. And then that's when we get in trouble, right? That's when we start drinking or, you know, having a lot of promiscuous sex or doing drugs or, you know, most of the people who are going down that road are living recklessly. It's because there's a void within that they don't know how to fill themselves.
And possibly it's also, I was just thinking as you were saying that, also the fact that they feel like they don't have any control maybe in their other parts of their life, so they kind of just want to lose control in those other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and control is a perfect segue into something that I talk about in the book. And again, playing off what Petrina was saying with the shoulds and, again, that looking externally, when I let go, when I went through my wake-up calls, the breast cancer and then the divorce, I really consciously let go. I let go of my life as I had known it to that point. I let go of a lot of beliefs and stories. Like I really took a very conscious path to my life at that point and started turning over all these different rocks not from a place of judgment or criticism, but from love and compassion on, you know, I'm here right now, you know, kind of like how did I get here, but not from the point of I want to be stuck here, but how can I use this learning from these two situations to then move me to my next phase of my life, whatever that looks like. And I approached it from a very, you know, empowered place. And I looked at and I saw a lot of the places where I was trying to control things, where I was trying to, I was looking externally for approval, where I was looking externally for my definition of success. And then I let go of all of that and really took a stand for me. Again, Petrina, going back to what you were saying, is took a stand for me and my essence and my gifts and my talents and who I am and what I was feeling, you know, was what I was being called to do and be in this lifetime. And when I started to take back my power and let go of, you know, the shoulds, the expectations, and really own who I am with unapologetically and mm-hmm. without over-explaining and starting to pursue those things that were most meaningful to me, it gave me so much peace because I felt that alignment with my essence. It gave me joy. It gave me new hope and new possibilities. And it was a very pivotal place for me to be. And I think that's part of my message in my chapter is we can all experience that if we're willing to stand up and take that ownership, but it's kind of that radical responsibility for the life that we have and the life that we desire to live.
I like that term, absolutely. Radical responsibility.
Yes, me too.
Now,
yeah, I was
going to
say too that, oh, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that it reminds me of what you were talking about self-judgment and how that has gotten crazy lately, you know, with all the social media making it even worse for people, and especially feel sorry for the kids that are growing up with it and feeling judged right from the start. So I think that's an important topic. If you could talk about that a little bit, Christine, I think that's an really
absolutely.
Your
yeah,
chapter.
This right. We there's so much comparison that goes on with, you know, the media. Like you said, social media is crazy. You get these perfect photos. You get people telling the perfect parts of their lives, and you don't see the behind the scenes. You only see the glossy things. And we can. And again, I'm going to raise my hand here where I would look at a peer or somebody else that was ahead of me in business or in their family life or relationships, and I would judge myself like I've been doing this longer than them. I should be where they are or further than them. The comparison, it just can happen very easily if you choose to not be conscious of it, right? So everybody is on such their own unique path. And while I think we definitely can learn from other people and it can help bring to light maybe our growing edge or something that we, old story that's still holding us back, we need to be very cautious when we look at other people because it can definitely suck our energy, drain us, and help us to, or keep us, prevent us from really focusing on those things that we specifically are here to contribute. And some people are maybe here to impact one life. Some people are here to impact millions of lives. Someone mm-hmm. might have one idea. Someone might create 50 things. And if we just own that there is an absolute reason we're here and to really embrace that and acknowledge it and have gratitude for it, it really helps us to stay out of that comparison mode.
Well, and it would also lead to more self-appreciation. And I just came up with that while I was just thinking about the show today. I was thinking about not just self-love, but self-appreciation, not just acceptance, but appreciation of what
yes.
you do. And to also, one of the things that I've loved about being in Toastmasters, I've been in it now for going on 15 years, and one of the things that I love about it is that they talk about constantly about how we're supposed to compare our progress with ourselves, not with everyone else, because everybody starts at different levels. And like you were saying, we see people and we think, oh, they haven't been doing it as long, but we don't know the behind the scenes. Maybe they have been doing it as long or longer. Who knows? You know? but judging ourselves by it or judging them by it doesn't do us any good. And it's like you said, just learn from it and then make some new choices from there. And then I wanted to talk to Patrina about the hell no and hell yes. I thought that was really strong in your your chapter as well. You want to tell us a little bit about hell yes and hell no?
Yes, absolutely. So I think we all had times in our lives where we've been kind of caught between our yes and our no. And when you're not in your self-authority, you're in, when you get into that space between yes and no, if you have a decision to make or a choice to make, it's really, instead of becoming a yes or a no situation, it's do I choose them or do I choose me? And so it puts us in a position of frustration and stagnation. And bottom line, it just doesn't feel good. It's not feeding our self-esteem when we're in that space. When you're standing in your self-authority, it's our deepest form of trust of ourselves. It's the deepest form of confidence, right, in oneself. And then it also can be either strengthened or diminished with every decision we make. So when we are standing in our self-authority, it becomes very easy to make decisions. I make decisions very quickly. It's a yes or it's a no. If it's a yes, hopefully things are going to turn out great. And because I said yes and I believe in that yes, it likely will. And at the same time, if it doesn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to turn out, I'm going to take full responsibility for it and I'm going to be fine. The same thing with my no. So standing in that space and being able to make that decision is a very powerful thing, because when you doubt your own self-authority, then you don't feel safe, you don't feel confident, you don't feel connected, and a lot of times you'll make decisions that are not in integrity with who you really are, right, just to get that quick fix. And self-authority is not something that's given. It's something that's earned. So there's no amount of accomplishment or success or anything that can give you that self-authority. It's something that you really have to develop and grow over time, but also that you have to own for yourself. You just have to decide that you're taking back your self-authority and that you're going to, again, live with whatever the repercussions are of making certain decisions. And I believe it's
a
standard and an example. 100% responsibility, which is not always easy, especially when you're
yeah.
But it's just really having the confidence and the trust within yourself that even if a decision or a choice looks absolutely nuts to everyone else, trust me, I've made many of those. In the end, I knew it was right for me, and I was willing to take the fall if it didn't work out. And that's really what it takes to create some you know, some awesomeness in the world, man. Everybody who's ever accomplished anything great has stepped out on a limb and done something what other people thought were crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you have to be willing to step even a little bit out of your comfort zone to accomplish anything, really.
Yeah. And you know what? People say that all the time, right? Stepping out of your comfort zone. I actually look at it as stepping into your other level, your next level. Because every time you do something that's not, that creates a little bit of discomfort, it's stretching you, it's pushing you, and you're becoming even more of who you're meant to be, who you are.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot.
I agree wholeheartedly. I know I talk about it in my chapter too, that when we start pursuing these, you know, soul-centered or heart-centered callings, this is uncharted territory for us. We don't know how things are going to turn out. We know we have an idea, right? It could be to start a nonprofit. I created a product. Again, it could be a business, and you start on that path, and you just know you become a new person, more of your authentic self, but it's uncharted territory. So it's all about growth. The whole path is going to be about your growing and your changing and your learning. And so think about when we're back in school, right? When we were in school and we're learning things, it's, you know, it's all new. And there's a lot of uncomfortableness that can come with so much newness and the unknown and uncharted territory. But I like to say, I had to get comfortable being uncomfortable, knowing that's part right. of the journey for me in this in the process.
So true.
Yeah, and I
yeah.
think we all have, this is Petrina, I think we all have, we're born with everything we need, and it's just that we forget as we get older how to access certain parts of ourselves. You know, when you're a child, you're super confident and you're a visionary and you're fearless and there's, you know, you feel safe, right? I'm going to be the president. I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to be a star when I grow up, right? Whatever it is.
Right.
And then as we go through life, we get bumped and bruised and disappointed, and we get abandoned and violated, and now we don't feel safe. We don't feel confident. And in reality, we have everything we need. It's just that we have to remember who we are, and we have to relearn how to access those different parts, the courage, the, you know, the perseverance, whatever it is, the confidence. And we just have to relearn how to access those parts of ourselves. And we do that through personal development. We do that through our associations. We do that by taking chances and choosing our yeses versus our noes and not worrying about what other people are going to say or think about it. That's when we're building the confidence. Every time we keep a promise to ourselves, we're building our confidence, right? So that's how you build that self-authority.
Yeah, and also I loved that you talked about personal development in your chapter, Petrina, and about how you started reading about it and being fascinated by it at age 13. For me, it started more like age 23, but I wish I had found out about it. No, seriously, I wish I had found out about it at age 13, but I'm glad that I at least found out about it at age 23, and it's been a passion of mine ever since as well. So I could totally relate to that. And I love calling it personal development versus personal development versus self-help, you know, because so many people think self-help sounds like something's wrong with you, whereas personal development, what I like about calling it that is that it's about developing more of who you are and who you can be, who you want to be, who you're here to be, versus going from that something's wrong with you and that it's about being a lifelong learner. So I love that. And you said that helped you a lot after your husband had passed away. But also after you had realized that you needed to get back into the whole financial aspect of life, which I think that's an aspect also probably not just for women but for men, that's an important aspect of self-authority. So could you talk about that for a minute?
Yes, absolutely. So the personal development initially, it came to me because I was seeking something. I knew that there was misalignment in my life. My outside world did not mirror my inner world. and I started seeking. So that's how I discovered personal development, through the dysfunction of my upbringing. However, later in life, that was a complete gift, because when I lost my husband and when all of these different challenges came up, I had the skills, I had the tools to handle it. So it goes back to what I was saying, that we have everything we need. We just have to learn how to access it. That was really one of the main tools that I had to really develop those parts of myself. And then as far as like the financial business is concerned, it's interesting because I didn't grow up in a family that had any money. My mom raised me as a single mom. She had me at 16 years old. We moved around a lot, you know. It was, we didn't know anything about money. We didn't get a financial education. And even in a traditional home with a mother and a father, us as women, we typically will go from our parents' homes into our husbands' homes. Now, I was a girl who never wanted to get married. I never wanted to get married. I never wanted to have kids, because I didn't come from that, for one, right? I came from a family of single moms, and I didn't want to be that. I ended up falling in love, getting married, and then having a wonderful marriage and ending up as a single mom with four kids anyway, right? So it's just interesting, and I just truly believe that our greatest pain, our greatest tragedies, a lot of times are meant to be our greatest lesson and also our greatest contribution. And so initially when my husband passed, I did take over our financial business for 2 years, but I still didn't feel in alignment with who I really was. I saw the value in it and what we did for people, but it wasn't me. It didn't feel like me. It felt like I was continuing his dream, his goal, his legacy. So after 2 years, I actually stepped away for 6 years and only did my personal development business, speaking, coaching, doing retreats, writing my book, all of that. So when it re-entered my life, it was the timing of it. It was the timing because, for one, I was tired of being a solopreneur. For two, my kids were getting older, and I knew that I needed to start thinking more long-term, specifically about finance, because in the entrepreneurial world, we don't talk a whole lot about saving and investing. We really talk more about earning more, scaling our business, you know, investing in the next great workshop or coach. And I knew I needed to change my conversation. So that's the time in my life where I was really caught between my yes and my no, because attached to the financial business was my husband's legacy, my kids' legacy, you know, just all the memories, everything that we had built together. And at the same time, I knew this was something that at this point in my life was something that I needed. And so I did struggle with that for a little while. And I honestly can say that choosing to reintegrate the financial piece into my work and seeing how that fit in the big picture of my mission here on earth to lead, empower, and inspire women, it's the best choice I've made. Was it easy? No. But is it fulfilling? Yes. The best choice is not always the easiest choice. And now I get to help women on the mental, spiritual, emotional, and financial levels. It's a holistic approach, and I freaking love it.
I love that. I love that. And I want to get back to also to more about Christine's part of the book and about radiant achievement. And Christine, can you tell us a little bit about, I liked how you described in the chapter about the differences in regular achievement versus radiant achievement. And
yes,
I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
Absolutely. It really all comes down to, again, that inward look, right? So when we are, radiant achievement is really the blending of whatever, the inner calling, the inner desires, your gifts and your talents, and then putting those into action in some way, right? So you are taking action, you're manifesting things, you're accomplishing things, but it's being sourced from a much deeper inner place. And you know, so somebody could have the musical talents, or they might have a gift of compassion. They might have a gift of listening, a gift of math, you know. So what, for us to really get to know ourselves, and just really one of the key things with radiant achievement is getting into a place of listening. And I actually have a book that I'll be coming out with this year that talks about the core powers that are part of radiant achievement. So I'm going to maybe tap into it a little bit. But the bottom line is, really, what is it that ignites your soul? and getting to that place of listening, letting things bubble up. So many of us have had dreams, ideas, passions from when we were younger. And I loved, Petrina, what you had said, because I can so think back to my younger days as this creative person. I loved to make up dances and plays and started a cheer squad in my elementary school. Like, I was a leader and started a club that didn't exist at my, you know, even in corporate America, and all of these things. Like, I was such a creative person. So if we get to that place of listening, what were those things that we loved to do when we were younger? What were those just that naturally interested us and came to us, and really to reconnect, and like, how can we express that now at this time in our lives? And I know one of the things for me that I always wanted to be a professional dancer, and growing up, it never happened. You know, parents didn't have the money for classes, but I never gave up on that dream. And so now, in my mid 50s, I'm taking dance lessons, and I'm learning 8 different types of ballroom dances. I am loving how I feel, what it's bringing out in me, my creativity, and when we come from those that place of tapping into those inner desires, those inner gifts and talents, what we do is we ignite our creativity. And, you know, when we're creative, there's so much energy that is there for us to use, and ideas start to flow, opportunities come to us. So connecting, again, back to that inner place as the source of our achievement and what we decide to achieve really puts us on a path to be our fullest selves. And again, this achievement, it's not about how much you accomplish, how quickly you accomplish, how successful the accomplishment is. It is truly every day taking those steps and becoming more of your true self, bringing more of your essence out, bringing more of your authentic self to the world. And in doing that, you grow, you blossom, you become somebody that you maybe never thought was even in there because you are connecting with that essence. And, you know, I will say that to me is really, you know, from a deeper perspective, what Radiant Achievement is all about. It's how you transform, who you become along that path, every little step of the way. And it's the things that go well, and it's the things that don't go well, because failures are going to be part of that path. But we never, it's this deep commitment to ourselves to bring our fullest self to the world.
Well, you know, that's the thing I love about this idea of radiant achievement, because it actually sounds to me, it's like, it's also joyful achievement. It's achieving from a place of love and what you feel love for, and loving yourself and loving the world. It's like, you know,
yes,
radiant. I just love that.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, and one thing, thank you. One thing I want to make sure I mention too is, and I talk about this in the chapter, is, and it goes back to kind of that judgment. And I have done this myself. I've had an idea. I've as a creative person, I've had hundreds of ideas for products, for things to do as a family, for you name it, the whole gamut of my life. And I would judge the idea, saying, oh, that's not significant enough, or I can't see how that's going to make a difference in someone's life. And again, I was judging the impact of it versus owning it as a seed of bringing out my potential, bringing out my essence. And so now I've done, you know, for the most part, you know, really try and consciously let go of any judgment. I don't know how it's going to turn out. It's for me. It's for my growth. It's for my evolution. And ultimately, I know it will have a positive impact in the world. But if I really focus on, again, just bringing my essence out, bringing my potential, tapping into that part of me that is not yet expressed, it all has positive ripple effects. So
exactly.
That was a big shift that I had to make.
It's a great ripple effect. We only have 6 minutes left. Can you believe it?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, time has just been going by so fast. I wish we had twice the time. But I wanted to mention before we go on more about that next week I'm going to have the fourth interview series with Dina Breslin and Teresa Ray, and we're going to talk about Connection and Evolve, the other two of the eight essential powers of the heart. I can't even think of what it is. And then also the event in Pasadena coming up on April 13th, 2019. And do you guys know what the time is, and who wants to tell a little bit about that? Because all of the authors are going to be there. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, all the authors are going to be there. This is Katrina, and I think it's going to be a really well. I don't think I know. It's going to be a really powerful event because everything that we just spoke about on this call will be modeled at the event. And without giving too much away, I know that there's a lot of us that are not just going to be speaking, but that we're going to be expressing other parts of ourselves with the audience in new and exciting and creative ways. So I don't want to tell too much, but you want to be there.
Yes. And this is Christine. I think the timing is from 1 to 6, and I know tickets are on sale right now.
How can people get tickets? I'm assuming
Amazing Woman Nation, under the events tab, you can go there to sign up.
AmazingWomanNation.com. Correct.
Yes, .com, correct. And I think my little tidbit I will add to what Katrina said is it will be experiential, and there will be workshop type of format where you're going to get to dive into your life and have some take a look at some of these different elements that we're teaching and get some hands on, get your hands dirty, and then dive in deep and turn over some rocks. So I think it's going to be it will be very powerful, and some transformation can definitely occur in this event.
It sounds wonderful. I wish I could be there. I'm up in Northern California, and we were just down in Southern California at the beginning, or actually the end of February. So, yeah, I wish I could come back down, but I'm not going to be able to be there. We only have 3 minutes left, and so I'd like to have one last thing from each of you, something short. So whoever wants to go first, we can say one thing about what you want to leave the guests
Perfect.
With.
This is Christine, and I want to leave with a question for everybody listening, the men and the women, and we've maybe heard this question before, is when it comes to the end of your life, what do you really desire to have achieved or accomplished? And to spend a moment really feeling, you know, what feeling into what that is for you, and then what is one step you can take today, like right now, to honor that, what is calling to you.
I love that. Katrina, what do you want to say?
For myself, I think that I always like to end with an invitation, and my invitation to your listeners today is just to stop undervaluing yourself and start recognizing, honoring, and celebrating all that you are. Just own it. My whole Badass Bodacious Life movement is about integrating and accepting all parts of yourself, and when you do that, it's a powerful thing. But another thing that is very powerful is recognizing that your contribution matters, that you matter, and then surrounding yourself with the right people, because you become of the 5% of the people that you spend the most time with. So coming to an event like the one that we're going to have in April, being around the women that have, you know, mastered, quote unquote mastered, because that's actually an action word, right? It's constantly happening. But being in an environment with other women that are epitomizing and living as the person that you know yourself to be and maybe just haven't learned how to access those parts yet is a very powerful thing. So I would definitely encourage people to come out to the event. If not our event, you know, find some events in your local area where you're able to be fully expressed and accepted for all that you are.
I love that. Thank you both for your contributions in the book. And thank you for being on my show. I really hope that everyone listening will share this with their friends and family and also listen to the other interviews that I did with the other authors. I'm really looking forward to next week.
Well,
thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, Margo. It was
thank
wonderful.
You.
Oh, you're
Have
welcome.
Wonderful.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And everyone out there, including you two, remember to live your music. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.